Welcome to the Savvy Working Mom podcast. This is the place where we share strategies to help you create a life you love. I'm your host, Whitney, a real-life working mom at a Fortune 500, professional speaker, and coach. I'm going to help you get real-life relief with simple systems so you can find more time and have less stress. With intentional and daily action, you can live your best days now and forever. You've probably heard that clarity and self-care are two of the keys for building an awesome life. But in today's busy world, who has the time to figure out exactly what that means for herself? You can learn on your own, but you're learning in a vacuum, and with how much you have going on, it becomes really easy to put your own personal growth on the back burner. Which is where I come in. When you work with me, you'll get support from someone who really understands the challenges of being a working mom. I want to give you a special invite to request a free strategy call with me by visiting thesavvyworkingmom.com/free call. Again, that URL is thesavvyworkingmom.com/free call. I look forward to talking to you soon. Jessica Dahlquist is a wife and mom of three boys with another on the way. She is doing her best to make the most of her motherhood journey. She's also a corporate mama and host of the amazing Extraordinary Mom podcast, which I adore. Jessica, I'm so excited to have you on the show. Thank you for joining me.
I'm so excited to be here. This is so fun.
Yeah. Let's launch into it, because for those who haven't heard your show, Extraordinary Moms, I think the premise is so great, where you talk about the tough stuff, because I feel like we don't talk about the tough stuff enough. Can you share a little bit with my audience about, one, actually, let's unpack a few things. One, how do you manage the podcast and your job and four boys, well, and the baby on the way, and how do you find the time to also take care of yourself? Because I can see you. I know my audience can't see you, but I can see you, and I can see that you look healthy and happy. So how do you find the time to make that work?
Oh, I'm just glowing right now, aren't I, Whitney? So there's a lot to that. So when you choose to pursue something that you're genuinely interested in, you make time for it, right? And so I was just talking to my friend Brooke the other day, and I said, you know, sometimes, you know, we might feel prone to be jealous of women that have these really fit bodies, or we might be really jealous of the mom that's always at school volunteering or whatever. And I really had this mindset shift a couple of years ago that whatever we choose to do with our lives is what we're choosing to make time for. And so for the moms that are super into fitness, like, they're choosing to spend their time and energy that way. And then they get a certain result from that. If you're spending your time volunteering, same thing. If you don't, like, just fill in the blank with whatever, if you have a job, same thing. And so you have to choose how you spend your time, and you can't be jealous or mad at anybody else for how you spend your time. And so I have a lot going on in my life, but it's really all things that I value. And so for the podcast, I really wanted to highlight other people's triumphs through struggle. And especially for women that I think we sometimes look at and we think, they're doing it all. How are they doing that all? I could never do what they do. I could never get through what they went through, things like that. I wanted to pull back the curtain and say, like, no, like, they're struggling day to day as much as any of us, but they're also doing a lot of things right. And they're also learning and becoming, you know, better moms in the process. And so I love the premise of Extraordinary Moms, like you said, because I was really looking for that validation that nobody's doing it all, but the very best moms that I see are doing a really good job at prioritizing their values.
And that's so important, to prioritize your values. I think it's something also that we struggle with. It takes a certain level of, one, clarity about what's valuable to you, a level of maturity to understand that, and a certain strength to be able to prioritize what you value against what others value for you, in a way. So how do you do that? What are your thoughts and tips on how to figure out your values so that you can prioritize them?
Yeah. So I think there's some values in your life that are going to stay consistent throughout your whole life. And for me, you know, family time and raising my kids and being a present mom, like, that's a huge value, but it also goes through seasons where it looks a little bit different. And so in this time of virtual learning and things like that, I've had to shift a lot of things around, and there's a lot less time where I get to decide how my time is spent because my kids need me more because they are physically home with me. And so we've had to reallot our time and change up expectations and things like that. So I think A, it's okay to readjust your values and it's okay if they look different, but hold on to the ones that you aren't willing to sacrifice. And then there's other values, you know, whether it's fitness, whether it's, you know, meal planning, whether it's a clean house. There are certain things that there may be seasons where you really excel in that. And then other seasons where it's like something else has to take its place. And you just have to be flexible with that. And like you said, I'm pregnant with my fourth baby right now. And, you know, I do good to get out and walk the dog for 30 minutes a day. Whereas usually I try and, you know, prioritize my health a lot more and things like that. But I don't have that bandwidth right now. And that's okay. But I'm not going to beat myself up about it.
When you catch yourself thinking negative thoughts or starting to beat yourself up, how do you switch that?
Oh, that is so good. Yeah. Being self-aware is one of the most enormous superpowers we can have as a mom. And it's not a matter of eliminating the thoughts altogether. It's recognizing them and deciding how much energy am I going to put into this? I always think of, you know, starting, you know, with a full bank of energy. And if I open, like, it's like a computer having a lot of tabs open at the same time. And if I have so many tabs open, my energy is going to be sucked dry and I'm not going to do anything well. But if I can allot a certain amount of energy, and if negative thoughts are sucking my energy and producing nothing as a result, my life is going to show for that. And it's going to result in resentment. It's going to result in exhaustion. It's going to result in snapping at my kids. That is not the life I want to live. Now, granted, I have those days and those moments for sure. We all do. But the more that we can be aware of, okay, I'm going to feel the feeling. I'm going to feel crummy about something. I'm going to, you know, wallow for this amount of time, and then I'm going to move on, or I'm going to, you know, get back into my groove and not sticking with that for too long. I think that's the best way to kind of snap out of it and move on in a more constructive way while still recognizing, you know, it's they're all valid thoughts, but how long do you want to stay there?
Yeah, that's so great. And I think this idea of feeling the feels is real, right? It's not that we have to not have the thoughts, and it's not that we even have to fully ignore them. It's like, have the thought, feel it, but then don't get stuck there. Don't let that, you know, the idea of like, don't let, because you stubbed your toe in the morning, ruin your whole day. Don't let your one negative thought stop you from having a joyful life.
Yeah, absolutely. And I was talking to my oldest son about this. He was still bitter about a soccer game he lost 3 days
ago.
And
he's 10, right?
He's 10. And I'm just like, Parker, like, does it feel good to wake up in the morning and like take yourself right back to that feel? Because we all have those things that sit in the back of our mind. Then we forget about it. We go about our day. And then we're like, wait, there was that thing. There's that thing that's going wrong. What was that thing? And then you re-remember it and you're like, dang it. Like, why did I just resurface that? And he was doing that from the moment he woke up, thinking, oh, that game, it didn't go well. I'm a loser. Blah, blah. And I'm just like, you have to start differently. Like, you have to start your day differently. Like, give yourself a space to think constructively, like, how could that game have gone different? What else could I have done? And then move on to other things that are more constructive and pour that energy into something that produces something good, instead of wallowing over something that you can't change.
Yeah, I really like what you just said about thinking, can I take an action to remedy this, right? So you have that negative thought. It's like, can I do something about it now in the present, not in the past and replaying what could have happened? It's like, can I do something now? I guess with soccer, it's like, well, can you run some more drills, or, you know, can you practice a little harder? Can you give your all, maybe if you did it the first time? And then that's what you can focus on. And that will help to drive positive change rather than sitting there and just, yeah, replaying the negativity of whatever, you know, whatever that thought is that's coming to you.
Absolutely. And I think I've heard from a lot of women after talking to people on the show and then just friends in general, when you lay down at night, if you're like me, like, you kind of replay the day, right? And those negative moments or those failures, you know, quote unquote failures, kind of stand out to us, don't they? And the more that I just replay that, or conversations I had where I think I said something dumb, or I wish I had done something differently, right? Like, I can do nothing about that now unless, like, an apology is required or things like that. But again, there's that action step. And it's kind of like, okay, I'm so frustrated that I didn't have dinner ready. And then we had to, you know, go through the drive-thru again. And I'm feeling so crummy. And okay, so tomorrow, what's for dinner? Like, and so what if you could plan that in your mind ahead of time? And then could I start it in the crock pot in the morning so that it's ready? Because I have a busy evening ahead and I know that ahead of time, right? And so, I know that I always get really snippy with my kids at 3 p.m. and we're all crashing. So maybe we plan ahead for, you know, movie on the couch at 3 p.m. instead of, you know, you just predict those trigger behaviors that usually they're patterns. They're patterns. And so if you can acknowledge some of those patterns and create better habits around them, or just try something new. And if it works, great. If it doesn't, fine. But ruminating definitely gets you nowhere.
No, it doesn't get you anywhere. I completely agree. Okay. Slight sidebar, but yeah. I love a crock pot. Like my crock pot has a name. I love to cook in it. What is your favorite? His name is Raul.
Oh, Raul. Thank you, Raul.
Yeah, Raul and I have spent many cold nights together before I met my husband, and many early mornings as well. Yes. What's your favorite crock pot recipe?
Ribs.
Oh, I've never done ribs in a crock pot. No.
Oh, Whitney, it will change your life. Okay. So get like baby back ribs, like pork baby back ribs when they're on sale. You cut them into 4 pieces. So they're a little bit smaller chunks. Okay. On the bone. Then you put a dry rub on it, just like Google dry rub, whatever, rub it on. Then you stand them up along the side. Then you put like 3/4 to a cup of water in the middle so it can steam. And then I add a little liquid smoke so it gets a little bit smoky.
Yes.
And then you cook it all day. And then at the very end, when you're ready to serve, you put them on a pan and then you're going to put them into broil, and you put barbecue sauce on right before you broil them. So barbecue sauce is not involved until the last step. So put them on a pan, put barbecue sauce on them. I do jarred. It's totally fine. Broil them for like 5 minutes to get them like a little bit charred. They will fall off the bone. It's like you're like a magician, and you literally, the prep is 5 minutes. I'm not even joking.
I love this. I am going to be trying this very soon.
Yes. And buy one on sale, because you can get a whole slab for like $8. And then
that's crazy. Yeah.
Like 2 meals. Yeah.
That's really great. Okay. Thank you for that recipe. Oh, and then I want to go back to one other thing that you said, because I'm totally this person where I've gotten much better at, and I have like an action that I want to share that it triggered for me to share, is this whole running through your day at the end of the day. I do that, and I used to do it, and like I would very much zero in on what did I say that was dumb? Like how could you say that? Oh, you sound so stupid when you said that. Like I would have those thoughts and really focus in on all the negative stuff. And you know, that really wasn't serving me well. It's not a great way to go to bed, go to sleep thinking about like how awful you are. And so what I found was really helpful for me is to, before I go to sleep at night, to actually write down what I'm grateful for from that day, or what I try and do something that I'm grateful for from the day, but then also just from my life, but make just a list of, you know, 3 to 5 things that I'm really grateful for. And that just helps me to focus on and actively think about something positive rather than beating myself up before I go to bed.
That is such a great idea. And I love the idea of replacing it with a different action, right? Because you can't just wish away the negative thoughts or change a habit without replacing it with something different. Like there's going to be a hole there, and you're going to revert back to what you've always done. And unfortunately, our brain likes to go back to the negative places. I don't know why that is, but it is what it is. And it's very common, and you're not alone in that. But I love that. And especially the act of writing it down. There's just something to that, the physicality of writing it down more than just even thinking about it, like in your prayers or something like that, getting it down on paper. And then you have this documentation of, wow, look how truly blessed I am. And what could possibly be so bad?
Hey again, it's Whitney. I hope that you're enjoying the show. If you're a busy mama who wants more time for herself and her passions, get started today by getting my free video short course, More Time and Less Guilt by Monday, at thesavvyworkingmom.com/more time. If you're new here or haven't yet done this, it is definitely the first step to getting started and applying these principles to your life. Head on over to thesavvyworkingmom.com/more time and grab your free gift today.
you said that you value being a present mom. And I think that's something a lot of us struggle with, is just how do you be present as much as you want to? Like, I'm sure none of us are ever present 100% of the time that we want to be present, but it's a practice that we can always be working at. So what are some of the tips and tricks that you have for being present when you're with your kids?
Okay, so I give myself a lot of permission to not be present physically while being present emotionally. Okay, so this is what I mean by that. I want independent kids. I do not want to be their cruise director. I don't want them to feel like they need me to entertain them all day long. My kids don't really tell me they're bored very much, because I think I've left them to their own vices for a long time. Like, they can play with each other. They have options. And I want them to be able to communicate with one another to work out squabbles and things. I don't want to be the intermediary that's always needing to settle a debate, right? Like, that is the beauty of siblings, is that they are in this little incubator to work out problems and communication and trial and error and things. And of course, there's times that I step in, but being a present mom doesn't always mean playing with them, being on the floor. Like, I actually really dislike playing toys and things like that, but I bring them into my world a lot. So if I'm cooking, I bring them in if I can invite them in. If I'm working on a podcast, I show them how I'm editing. You know, if I'm going on a walk, I invite one of them. If we're going on an errand, I invite one of them. So I want them to have these pockets of time where they know, like, mom values me, mom sees me, mom loves me, but it's not always in the form of having to be physically with them. I do think it's important to interact with them in a way that you're doing the things that they like to do, because I think that really empowers them when you're able to, you know, jump on the trampoline with them because that's what they're asking you to do, or play soccer or whatever. But I don't think that needs to be like huge chunks of your day. I see a lot of moms who get really swamped by feeling like they need all the out. Like, if it's a Saturday, they need to spend every single hour, like, what, eye contact, like, all day long. I can't do that. But I also I've just lowered the expectation of what that looks like to me. And it works for us. So it might look different in our house, and that's fine. But to me, that's being present.
I love it. That's so great. And yeah, I can't do all day either. And what I found is 10 or 15 minute bursts of like extreme connectedness or presence can really just make the whole day. And also, when I'm doing that and not putting so much pressure on myself to spend 12 straight hours being super mom, I'm actually a much better mom in the 20 minutes of focus, and that my son takes more out of it in that way. The 2.5-year-old, the 6-month-old is clearly just, he's still a little mush ball.
Right. And it's kind of like, if you're stressed and you're burned out because you're looking around and dinner's not made and the house is a mess, but you've been doing that one-on-one with your kid all day long, and you thought previously like that was what you had to do, but then it's leaving you stressed on all these other things. If you end up snapping at your kids more, yelling at your kids more, being frustrated, resentful of motherhood, like, is that the representation of motherhood you want to have your kids? So I would rather have my kids, you know, hear, oh no, mom's busy. Like, mom's going to read a book on the couch while you're playing. Like, look, you have each other, go play outside. And I'm going to sit outside and watch you while I'm reading a book. And I have zero shame about that. Zero.
And you shouldn't.
Yeah, exactly. But a lot of moms feel that way. And you don't have to if you don't want to.
I love that. So we're coming to the end of the show. I want to ask you the two questions I ask all the mamas. The first is, what is your morning routine like? I can't even imagine. Your house is so full. So share.
You're going to be like really shocked. So I read The Miracle Morning by Hal Elrod years ago, and I was getting up an hour before my kids. And then I was so tired that I like couldn't even stay awake past 7 p.m. And I'm like, do I love this? No. So I have a very lackadaisical morning routine, and that probably shocks you. So I wake up, my kids are early risers. So I wake up about 6:30, 6:45-ish. I kind of get them set up. It's nice that they're getting older, because once I kind of set them up with their breakfast and things like that, they're kind of, you know, talking to each other and things. And then my husband and I go on a walk both mornings.
That's beautiful.
So a blessing of the quarantine is that he's working from home, and we walk our dog. And a lot of mornings we do that. And if I just am too tired, he walks the dog, and I just pretend like I went with him. And and then we, you know, school starts, virtual school starts about 8:30. And so we're just kind of like not rushed. And I have never, even when my kids left for school, I'm not somebody that really micromanaged their life very much. So I made sure things were set up ahead of time. So like I sleep in my sports bra if I want to go on a walk the next morning. I put my shoes out beside my bed if that's part of the plan. My kids already, you know, have their backpacks packed the night before versus rushing. The lunches are made the night before. So I am a big fan of setting, doing the one thing the night before or the couple things that set you up for success and less stress the next day. And so our mornings really aren't rushed and hurried. And then, but I do like the night before knowing what's ahead for that day. So if there is like morning activities or an appointment or something, I'm not feeling the stress or whatever. I just like back up my timeline. And that really works for me.
And I think it's so important, this idea of setting your morning up the night before, like doing as much as you can to get it out of the way. And also what you just shared about not putting pressure on yourself to have that full, extremely rigid morning routine. I was a miracle morning person too. And then I had kids and I was like, this is not a thing. Yeah,
for seasons, right, Whitney? Like I said, like if you value, you know, those things and you're not able to put them in the course of your day, maybe waking up an hour ahead is going to work for you in that season. And that is absolutely fantastic. And then there's going to come a time when you have a 6-month-old like you do. And then it's like, well, if I wake up an hour before, like, A, I don't know exactly when that is. So then your time is cut short after 25 minutes and then you're mad. And then you have a whole day to be mad about it. And then you're tired, right?
Yes. What is the one big thing that you want to share with other mamas?
Guys are just doing such a great job. I mean, I think we are so hard on ourselves and we don't really give ourselves the space or the time or the opportunity to really reflect upon our motherhood very much. And so a privilege that I have in doing Extraordinary Moms is I create this space for them to talk about themselves and to kind of track their journey and the lessons they've learned. And by the end, it's like, wow, from point A to point B, look what I've done and look who I am because of it. And so I just want all the moms out there to just know you're enough right now. You're doing a great job right this second. And you have the power to prioritize your values, to change anything at any time if it's not working for you. And just think about a better way to do things. And sometimes it takes a lot of trial and error, but you can really craft and create the life that you enjoy living, and don't feel captive to anybody else's expectations.
That's all we've got for this episode of the Savvy Working Mom podcast. One thing that would really help both us and other potential listeners is for you to rate this show and leave a comment on iTunes, Stitcher, or wherever you listen. Also, make sure to link up with us at thesavvyworkingmom.com/blog and on Instagram at thesavvyworkingmom. And please just share this podcast with any other mama who you think might enjoy it. Until next time, remember, with intentional and daily action, you can live your best days now and forever.